where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your household. I'm your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
All right, on with the games, they say, as they say in the biz. How's it going today?
My day is pretty good. Pretty good so far. Pretty standard Thursday, if you all things considered. Not a whole lot to report in terms of Thursdays. As if I were to rate this against other Thursdays, I'd say it's probably like a 6, you know? It's kind of right down the middle, but just a little bit above the rest.
That's pretty good. I mean, I like Thursdays. I'm very partial to Thursdays, actually. And I mean, I guess I kind of know why, or at least logically in my head, I feel like I know why. It's because, I mean, to quote the song, you know, Friday, I'm in love or whatever. Like, everyone's all about Friday. Friday gets a lot of love. Mm-hmm. Saturday's pretty cool, too. You know, it's a whole day off. Sunday, you know, you got the day off, but, you know, Monday's right around the corner. Thursday, to me, it's like, it's that anticipation of Friday, because there's something fun about being like, oh, well, you know, I got work tomorrow, but one, I know that everyone's going to be really relaxed, really cool. It's going to be a, like, you know, everyone's going to be in a good mood at work, and I know that when I'm done, I get to, you know, go. It's almost kind of like that, the amuse-bouche Friday.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, especially here at the Patch Potch offices, people are really anticipating and looking forward to Fridays as they're, you know, there is a lot of love for the Friday around the office. People are pretty relaxed as well, you know.
True.
A lot of people drinking out of, like, flasks and stuff during the day and, you know, kicking off their shoes. It's, you know, maybe a little bit unprofessional, but, you know, we really like to do get down here on Fridays.
Well, I also think it's a little soured by the fact that, I don't know if you've noticed this, but on Mondays and Tuesdays, when you walk into the office, the AC is just blasting stinky air. I mean, they must put, like, a trout and some, I mean, they must take those shoes from Friday and just leave them in the vents all weekend. And I mean, it just,
who's they? The, like, the cleaning people are doing this?
I think so. I think when I came in, I had to come back for my badge once, and they were just loading the AC units with just, like I said, various fish.
Wow, they must hate us for some reason. I wonder what the beef is between us and the cleaning crew.
I honestly don't know. It might predate us, but maybe we can ask Miss Dunn sometime and see if, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's, like, a squabble that we don't know about that we are actively
contributing
to.
Yeah, I'm actually very interested to know. Tweet your theories at PatchPotch R&D as to why the cleaning crew hates us so much.
Yeah.
But you are correct. There is a pungent smell when we come back in on Fridays, or I'm sorry, Mondays.
Yeah.
That is just wafting throughout the entirety of the office. It's, I mean, it's pretty bad. It's still, you know, the worst is, like you said, Monday, Tuesday, but I can still kind of smell it, you know, right now.
Well, I think that's just because, again, like, you would think that the cleaning crew would be the ones to handle that, but since they're the ones that did it in the first place, I guess they're not doing it. And I think
we need a cleaning crew for our cleaning crew.
That's true.
We need to clean them up with a different crew.
Oh, man. Is that a game?
Cleaning crew battle? Cleaning crew?
Cleaning crew cleaning crew? Where you clean up a cleaning crew, almost like a Hitman cleaning crew type game.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, there, that could be something if we wanted to dig into that at a, you know, different time.
Yeah.
You know, competing cleaning crews to see who can clean up their space better, but at the same time also dirtying up other people's spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's put that in the back pocket, brainstorm it a little bit more, because we got a couple of things from R&D, right?
If we release that game, the cleaning crew will definitely know we're talking about them.
Oh, you know what?
We have to. It might get even stinkier.
That's another slippery slope that would.
Yeah, they'll be like, they've actually put out a game of us being stinky people. So now we're going to make this even worse. So yeah, let's sit on that and we'll figure out what exactly we need to do to mitigate that problem.
We would honestly probably subconsciously use, like, not even the names, but, like, images for the cleaning crew people that would be the actual cleaning crew people, like, you know, like,
I would just take pictures of them, yeah. Just, that's the players.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. I mean, you know, Ralph would just be at home and be like, hey, I think,
hey, wait a minute,
I think that's me.
Hey, wait, that's the back of my head.
Yeah. So, what kind of game is this?
Yeah. But yeah, we can hop on over to R&D. Let's do that now.
Go for it.
Oh, okay. Here, you want me to read some of these? So let's see. We got Fantasy Carpet Business, and we've got Onion versus Turnips, which I want to say something actually about this prompt here is that going back and listening to some of our previous ideas, Miss Dunn has actually said, no food for a while.
Okay.
You know, we've been doing too many food games, and that she had said personally that, you know, while this is a good idea, that she wants to put a pause on food related board games for a minute.
And that's understandable. We don't want to flood the market and compete against ourselves with our various yeah. food related games.
Yeah. So Frozen Pea Tester Quest is another one like that. Although Frozen Pea Tester Quest is, I mean, very good. I'd love to play that game, whatever it may be. Let's see. Bidu Men. I don't get this one. Do you know what this one means?
Yeah, I actually had to look it up. Bitumen is a substance used in paving and road. It's similar to asphalt, but it's not asphalt. In fact, if you look up bitumen, let's go to the trusty internet here. Type. Bitumen, a black viscous mixture of hydrocarbons obtained naturally or as a residue from petroleum distillation. It is used for road surfacing and roofing. So, like, you know how like roofs have kind of that, it's smooth still, but it's a little bit like kind of like I'm trying to think of like a good comparison, like a ground up rubber kind of texture.
Okay.
That's what bitumen is.
Okay. All right. I had never heard of it, but these are bitter paving people.
Wait. Now I'm seeing. Okay. So I'm seeing a picture that says asphalt versus bitumen, suggesting that they're different. But
okay.
Wikipedia says asphalt, also known as bitumen, is a sticky black. Asphalt world.
Well, anyone can edit that page if it's on Wikipedia.
That's true. You got to get your story straight.
I bet the bitumen, they were the ones that probably edited it. They're like, actually, bitumen's better than asphalt, so we're just going to call it the same thing.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe the bitumen are already bitter. There are bitter bitumen men out in the world already.
I would, based on the facts that have been presented before me, I would say yes, there are.
Yeah. It's a petroleum based.
Well, that one sounds tricky. I do like ice fighters. Ice fighters like firefighters, but with ice.
Yeah, that one.
That's a pretty good one.
That one I'm just imagining. Well, okay. The only hesitation that I have in terms of presenting it to the world is that, you know, with all that global warming stuff, what a bummer. Sorry. But
it is a bummer. You are correct, despite the silly way that you said it.
No,
it is a bummer.
It is indeed a bummer. It is a real thing, and it is quite a bummer. But along those lines, fighting ice might not be a very popular view in the world right now.
Yeah, unless it's like something that we say it's like a nuclear winter, and like in this game, the whole world is frozen over.
Okay. All right, you've got me back on board. And so,
that would be the only, I don't think we should make a game about like going onto like, you know,
glaciers,
the North Pole, and
breaking
like,
them,
yeah, and destroying them, and like polar bears just like falling into the water, and like the ice fighters high fiving each other.
Yeah,
okay. Probably not a good look.
No, not the
best. And then we've got a few here. We got a few here that are other games that just have a little bit of a twist on them.
Yeah.
Monopoly, except one person's a trust fund baby. Risk, but one person's objective is to bring about a holy war. And Clue, but someone is actually a killer.
I like those because, yeah, they're twists. And those ones actually came from a good friend that had actually suggested them to me, so I just wanted to make sure to bring them to R&D.
Okay.
But, yeah, they are... those twists on modern games that, who knows, maybe it could give it an extra edge. It could give it more of that modern twist. I know that we love to reference games like Dead of Winter or, you know, Secret Hitler, kind of like secret objective type betrayal games. So those,
sure,
those definitely screamed, you know, hidden objective, someone working about in a way that is unknown to everyone else.
Well, I will say that, so the clue, but someone's actually a killer, that is definitely a game that is already out there. I don't remember what the game's called, but I did read an overview of it, and it's basically what it is, you know, there's a group of people all trying to figure out, like, who the murderer is, but it's, like, someone in the group, and they basically know how they killed a person, but the rest of them, you know, Monopoly with a trust fund baby, and Risk with one person trying to bring about a holy war, those definitely haven't been done.
I am more partial to the Risk, but one person is trying to bring out a holy war, because I'm kind of imagining already, yeah, you've got a war style game. The only thing that I will actually request is that dice are not as pivotal in this game. I do like a good dice. It makes it, you know, at least when you have your one troop against the horde, you have a chance of rolling continuous sixes and you win, but nothing is more frustrating than when you tactically and strategically do all these things to give yourself an advantage, and then your rolls are just crappy, so you don't win.
Yeah, it also does slow the game down quite a bit when everyone's got a huge army, and the other person's like, actually, I'm just going to choose to roll one dice at a time, and you're like, oh, come on!
Yeah.
Like, you have 50 units on this, on Greenland!
Exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, I agree that part I can do without as well, or at least we can figure out a more streamlined way for combat.
Oh! I think I got it. You still roll a number of dice up to however much, like, per unit. So, like, let's say, like, I have 6 units, you have 1. You roll, or I guess you can choose to roll however many. Like, I guess I choose. Or I don't know. Like, maybe it's like up to, like, you get to roll up to 3 maximum whenever you're attacking and defending. But whatever you roll, that is how many casualties or whatever the other team will get. So, like, if you roll a 6, obviously you've done max damage to me. But no matter what I roll, I'm going to take out your one person. So even though I do have the overwhelming numbers, at least you stood me off as best as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that could definitely work. Or if we make it, like, the rolls that you do get, like, if you roll a 6, that's actually, like, 6 units gone.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, like, your...
Oh, that is what you said. Okay, well, then I agree with you.
well, then, it seems that we agree.
Well, then, this is a good idea.
Right. So, yeah, your one guy rolled a 6, so he took off 6 units. Well, I guess in my example, I said 6, so that means that it would be
a
draw. But, yeah, no, and I have 7 people. So, unfortunately, I lost 6 of my people. But no matter what I roll on my dice, because I have more dice and you're only one person, I'm going to take it regardless. It's just about how well you do.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay,
cool.
Well, I mean, is that the game that we want to try to roll with?
Well, let me just say, first off, you're welcome, everybody. We fixed Risk, so, you know, there's something. There's a freebie
you
for
you. You could just go with that rule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Again, I'm going to say it because that's frustrated me for quite some time, so... Good job, me. We did it. Good job, us.
Great job. Yeah.
I'm down with it. I like the idea of, because there's something, dare I say, heated behind the words of holy war. So, you know, that would suggest that I guess everyone would kind of have to have some kind of extra objective, like maybe... Like, obviously it's a war game, but maybe someone is going around and not only are they waging war, but they are also, you know, a military manufacturer, so they're making a ton of commerce off of it. Another one is like a research type nation, and so they're making a bunch of, you know, developments in technology and stuff like that. But then one person is secretly trying to bring about a new messiah and get people, I guess, to either be for or against the person, because that's the only way that you could, you know, make a conflict around this religion that I guess you're founding.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely would have to be more elements than just the actual war aspect of it, because, I mean, if you're introducing religion into Risk, I don't know, actually. I'm a little skeptical about this one. I'm afraid to give, you know, Holy War comes with a lot of, like bad things that also happen to it.
That's
like,
what,
you know,
I was
genocide and
that
stuff.
Was,
yeah, I don't know. The more I think about this, this probably isn't a good idea to release this game or even, like, come up with it.
Well, you know what? We fixed Risk. Let's just move on.
Yeah, we're going to move on to a different one. Hey, actually, this is a bad idea, and no one should make this game.
Yeah.
At least the Holy War part.
But again, I want to focus on the good parts where we fix Risk, and you should all use our rule from now on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you should definitely use that rule. Okay, let's just pick one of these other ones at random. I can just do... I just close my eyes and pick one, I guess. Or is there anything that's actually calling out to you, the ones that I did say?
Well, I was going to say, I want to hear what's calling out to you, because I'm familiar with these subjects. I've kind of got a little bit of ideas brewing or whatever, so I'm fine to go in any direction. I want you to look at one and say, it's you. You are the one that I'm going to take this idea to prom, treat it right, have a great time, dance, maybe get a little kith at the end. And, you know, take them back home ready to be shipped onto the shelves.
Let's do the fantasy carpet business.
Fantasy.
Let's do the fantasy carpet one. I know that we did have one here for a Halloween one, but I think we should save that one.
Ooh, yeah.
For when we really know we're going to do the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
So let's do the fantasy carpet business.
We
got to
do
now.
That closer to spooky season, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. It's decided.
So, this was the groundwork that I had thought of. Tell me if, or, you know, obviously augment it however you feel, whatever you like. Fantasy carpet business. And much like every fantasy game or whatever, and this one's a communal game too. Or, I don't know. Maybe everyone is working for themselves. But everyone gets a different class. I am a warrior. You are a ranger. There's a wizard and a cleric or whatever. All at the table playing together. We have various abilities that help us with carpet making and such. Like, perhaps the cleric can use a mending spell to fix some frayed carpet. And as a warrior, I'm really good at chopping it exactly where it needs to be. As a ranger, they can fire arrows to, you know, nail it down, you know, with extreme accuracy and speed. And the wizard... maybe the wizard can, like, augment it with different colors and enchant it and stuff like that, so that the customer is more satisfied. Where the kind of conflict of the game comes in is that since this is a fantasy setting, you know, if you're putting carpet in and, you know, the townsfolk's homes and such, and a big dragon comes and ruins that carpet, not only do you probably have to fight off that dragon, but then you need to make sure that your carpet survives it. Or you need to reimburse that person. Something along those lines.
Okay. I do like the idea. So, yeah, there's a lot to sort of go off with. I like the idea that we're all fixing... That there's classes, number one, and everyone's got a sort of a special ability in terms of what they can and can't do. I think... So is this a cooperative game then, that everyone's working together to fix carpets, or are people going to be competing with each other to fix carpets?
I think not only for the idea, I mean, we haven't really released a good cooperative fun game maybe yet, or at least we definitely haven't done one like that. I think this game is everyone against the game. The game is going to be kind of fighting against you, and you are all on a team. You are trying your best. You are a carpet business, all together, trying to, again, not only install carpets and make them in a satisfactory amount of time, as well as fitting people's standards and stuff, but repairing them after, you know, a horde of bandits comes into town and scuffs up the carpet in someone's house. So
sure. Well, okay, how about... Wait, were you about to say something? Say,
also along those lines, maybe you're not the ones fighting them off. Maybe you're just kind of sitting in the back. It's like, oh, I'm not a hero. I'm just a carpet business person. I'm just a carpenter.
I was about to say something like that, where I think I like the idea of the, like, these people were heroes at one point, but they're no longer, they hung up their hero, like, I don't know, mantle, and they're ready to just be a carpent business. But they do have their old party back together, and they are just doing carpet stuff now. Now, what if here that, like, much like you said, you know, maybe some heroes, they bring in a carpet and it's like been like charred by a dragon, or maybe like someone brings in like, hey, there's a, my carpet's stuck inside a gelatinous ooze right now. I need you to get the carpet out and like clean it up. And so like the different carpets that come to the table or like that need to be like fixed up all have different sort of things that revolve around, I don't know, some sort of fantasy, you know, aspect to it, where it's not like, it's like after the bandits attacked, here's a bunch of carpets with a bunch of stain, blood stains on it. And that can be like, that's like level one carpet, like fantasy carpet business. Like you just like cast a cleaning spell on that. That's good to go. But like higher level things are like, this carpet was, you know, like I said, it's got a, it's inside of an ooze. The ooze is here right now. I need you to get that carpet out and also clean it up. And like, as you go along throughout sort of the stages, you know, you'll randomly get like harder and harder things to clean up.
I think not only this, I love this idea that there are these, you know, tasks being given continuously, but I think along with that, I mean, if we're in a fantasy setting, I mean, other than like a rug, how often have you seen carpet in like high fantasy worlds?
Oh, you know, we've been saying carpet the whole time and I've just been picturing rugs, actually. Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's, no, I'm completely off. I don't have any carpets in my house. I just have hardwood floors. So that is, yeah, I the concept of carpets is completely lost on me. But okay, all right, now this is different then.
So this is what I'm saying. Because this is a fantasy world, and maybe that's why they've hung up the hero mantle, because they are in such high demand. But with this new invention, the carpet, you know, people are like, not only are you filling orders to go and put carpet down in people's houses, but when there are those attacks, you know, the dragon attack, the bandits, the gelatinous ooze, the, you know, lich from on high who's casting spells or whatever, you have to, or maybe it's like, however well you make your carpet, it can deflect those attacks and it holds up. Ooh. And you get more points for that. Or if the carpet is destroyed in your clients' houses, you have to go back and fix it up in a satisfactory manner while of course still installing carpet. So that's where it comes down to, like, again, like if it's like, oh, these bandits came into my house and I'm a great hero and I slayed them, I don't know, verbs,
slew them, I think it's slew,
I has done the slewed.
I has done the killing.
I has done the killing, and now there is blood upon my carpet. And
they are now the dead.
They are now the dead, and the carpet is alive, and I am strong. With the bloodstain, like you said, it would make sense. The cleric's like, oh, okay, for your turn, cleric, you're going to go off, and you're just going to quick, you know, healing spell, get the carpet all cleaned up, ready to go. But we've still got these orders coming in, so wizard, you're gonna make sure that the carpets that are going out are being fortified and enhanced. Warrior, we need you here chopping, you know, lengths of carpet to make sure that it's all done. And then ranger, you're gonna go out there and you're gonna, you know, blast arrows into the carpet, I guess, because that's how it gets installed, as quickly as possible. And then again, another turn, another attack, who knows, maybe different kind of specializations are needed to fix.
This is a good idea. I'm picturing all of this now, because like you, so all right, all of what you said is great and we should keep all of
that.
And I'd like to also add to it as well, say that there's some situations, then, you know, like there should be things like the wizard can cast a spell to, like, I don't know, make it like ooze proof if they know that like an ooze is on the way or something like that. Like, what if this town has like a watchtower and they know what's coming, so like people can see what's you know, monsters are coming up, and maybe there's like a board or something like that where you place a little token down on the board itself saying like monsters are in this section of the town, and it's this one's an ooze here, and like there's a dragon in this other section, which gives you like ample time to fix up whatever, you know, sections that aren't being attacked in, inside of it, and then you kind of rotate around as they get like cleaned up or something like that. Like cleaned up as in like the monsters go away, and then you have to go up after that and be like, all right, we got a bunch of ooze on this carpet here. Next time that this ooze comes back, we're gonna have some anti-ooze spells on it.
Love it. I okay. Just to even throw just another hyper detailed or at least hyper specific thing in there, I think the watchtower mechanic is almost like maybe you get to like draw like three cards, look at them and be like, okay, we got dragon, ooze, bandit, but then you have to shuffle them so you don't know which is next. But if the cleric is like maybe one of their powers and they're not doing it, they can use like a divination thing and they get to look at the next immediate monster like, oh, okay guys, since I wasn't doing anything, or at least since I wasn't needed to do carpet relay attacks, I used my divination magic to see that the next monster coming is a dragon. And the wizard's like, okay, great, fireproof carpet in this sector of the city or in this next installation, bing bang boom, that's just like getting ahead of trouble.
All right. Okay. All right. This is perfect so far. All right. But I think that there should be actions that everyone can take that, like, say the wizard or the warrior is busy doing something. Mm-hmm. The wizard can actually make and cut the carpet if they need to. They just may not be as good. What I'm going to pitch here is that there's going to be a few different actions that you can do. And each sort of class is their specialty in how they can do it. So I'm going to say that, like, warriors, that they can cut lengths of carpet, like, much quicker than any other ones, and they can actually get the carpet, like, faster, and they can have carpets ready to go faster than any other class. Rangers can do installations better than anyone else, and they can, say, do, like, two installations per turn.
Okay.
And a wizard could also install, but that's, like, hit their turn, like, putting that, like, in doing the installing, you know? I will say, like, clerics can do cleaning better, and they can also do the divination. Like, they can clean two carpets in the time that it takes a player to do one. And a wizard can do, I don't know, what do you think a wizard should be able to do?
I think the enchanting part and kind of creating the blocking magic for the carpets. And then maybe we could add an element where the carpet needs to actually be, or at least like you, not only do you have to make the carpet and like, you know, it needs to be ready to go back at your, you know, store, I guess, wherever you are, but you need to get it to those various parts of town. And maybe the wizard has like teleportation spells in order to expedite the carpet, or even expedite fellow players and get them around the city faster.
That's good. Okay. I'm going to also pitch an idea for a rogue who has the power to install a carpet while a certain part is getting attacked.
Oh, yeah. While there's a monster there? Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, the game's going to go, how I picture it is that, let's say that there's four sections of a town, and each one has a certain monster in it. And say when there's bandits attacking, that's just one turn that you can't actually go in that part of town because bandits are easy to clean up. Oozes are, say, like, they stay there for two turns. Dragons are there for three turns. And the whole objective of it is to hit every single client that there is, you know, by the end of the game itself. And make sure, and if you are able to get to one client and say that they're, like, bandit, ooze, it's, like, bloodproof, it's ooze-proof, and dragon breath-proof, that customer is done. They don't need anything else. And I'm just throwing those three out there, and there can definitely be a lot more different kinds of monsters. But, like, once they're all enchanted and done, you know that they're, like, their carpet's going to be there permanently, even if their house gets razed and destroyed, that customer is done.
that carpet's not going anywhere.
Yeah, the carpet's not going anywhere.
The walls may crumble around us, the ceiling may cave in, but this carpet is forever.
But by God, that carpet's going to stand. So, and the number of customers that you have to hit are going to be based on how many players that there are. So say if you've got four players at the table, you've got to hit 15 different customers. Ooh. And each one of those customers, let's say that you maybe like roll a dice in each section of the town and saying, we got six customers here, we got four customers in this one, we got three in this one and two in this one. And that can vary based on the different sort of sections that there are. And if you've got more players, there's going to be more houses for you to, you know, take care of. And by the end of it, the idea is to continuously give people carpets and fix them up until basically all of your customers are done.
Awesome. And I think for the, you know, competitive aspect to I think kind of bring at least this part all home, I love that. Yeah, you're going around and doing all that, but you know, obviously you're trying to, since it's all cooperative and you're playing against the game, you still want to try and at least have some kind of competition against your past selves or other players, you know, that you've played with in the past, whatever you want to say. But you're awarded points for not only how quickly you get it done, but then maybe you're also detracted points for however many carpets get, you know, destroyed or whatever. I'm imagining that you obviously end the game with some amount of positive points, but however many points you can accumulate and hold on to, you know, it's just kind of your end game scoring of like, oh, we got this much or whatever. Like maybe your first time you're not so great because you don't really know all the mechanics yet, but then when you play again, you actually like have a really high score, at least a much higher score, because you're like, oh, okay, hey, like we actually used our turn economy and expedited it like really well, and it's a well-oiled machine. I'm just trying to, I guess, kind of pitch an idea or include an idea of some kind of I guess quantitative tracker to see your progress, so that it's not just okay, game over, we're done. You can at least say, hey, this time we did really, really well.
Yeah, well, there should be some sort of, I like the idea of a tracker, because there should be some sort of aspect where you can lose, say, you know, at the start of the game there's already three carpets, just basic ones that have already been installed, and if any point, so you basically start at three, and if any point that tracker goes down to zero and you aren't able to keep up with the demand, and eventually at some point every single carpet's destroyed. Well, no, you wouldn't be able to get to that point. If you make any one carpet then basically like super
this?
Enchanted throughout the entire time, yeah, then you wouldn't be able to get back down to zero at any point.
What about this?
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe on top of all of these kind of variables and things, the game comes with like scenarios that, again, much like, man, just really love quoting this game. It's got great mechanics. Dead of Winter, how there is a main objective.
Have you guys played Dead of Winter?
No,
Dead of Winter. It's a zombie game, and there's
zombies
and objectives.
And you run around, and you grab things, and you accuse each other. It's a good game. We'll sing its praises.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
Anyways, yes, go ahead with your objective idea.
Right, much like how there's like a main objective, maybe there's a scenario every game that you know, you can pick, it can be random, whatever you choose, and who knows, maybe they can even range in difficulty and stuff like that. Like, I'm imagining one right now is called like a Flight of Dragons or whatever, where you have like a lot of customers and a fair amount of time to set up, but then once you hit like a threshold or maybe like a turn count in the game, you're just dragon after dragon after dragon. And even though yes, the wizard maybe there's a cooldown on the type of enchantment magic it can cast, and again, I'm in this example, I'm also imagining that dragons are the strongest, so not only do your carpets have to be fireproof, but they have to be claw proof and all kinds, and who knows, maybe an ice dragon attacks or whatever. So
oh damn, that would really throw the wizard off.
Exactly. So you don't,
like, I've been preparing fire this whole time. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, there's gonna be like that's actually a good idea, that even if in this other scenario where there's not just dragon after dragon, we should have different kinds of dragons, like a lightning one or something else that can tear it up, so you aren't just always preparing for fire.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that just goes to say, at least I think there should be many different kinds of monsters. So and maybe each monster has a different type that you're trying to prepare damage against, because like, I don't know, like maybe even if it is like a bandit or whatever and the wizard's off doing something else, the warrior can at least put down some, I don't know, metal plating to make sure that your carpet is like, you know, slash proof or whatever from the bandit's swords and axes and stuff.
And the ranger can really like staple it to the ground so that it doesn't get like torn up.
Exactly.
Like, there should definitely be scenarios where like if you put in a pretty basic carpet, there is a good chance that maybe this could be down to like a die roll or something like that.
Yeah.
Like a good chance that the whole thing gets destroyed and is just beyond saving.
Yeah. But again, yeah, more augmentations and stuff on it will increase that die's roll no matter what is rolled. So that even if again, bandits do, let's say they do 3 slashing damage to a carpet, and even if you have, you know, you roll a 1 on your whatever to save the carpet, if it's got slash resistance and it's well put in, and you even, maybe on top of the rogue's abilities, he can load like a spring trap so that it, when the monster comes and steps on this carpet, they get catapulted away, and then it goes back, you know, and resets, and it saves the carpet.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Just more details to, or at least, you know, not like game specific mechanics, but just, again, hyper specific details of how classes work.
Yeah. Let's say this. Okay, here's a pitch. So whenever a monster is in a certain section of a town, you roll a dice for that monster. And I'm going to say that there can be 6 total, that there's going to be 6 total spaces that, you know, they'll be at, or 6 total customers that they could be at. And okay, there's going to be down to like 4 total customers. And so every single turn that a monster is in there, you roll a dice to see which house that it's attacking. And then from there, if there's a carpet in that house, then it takes damage based on whatever type that monster is. So you could get lucky, and for every single turn that the dragon's inside a certain section, you keep rolling a 6. Like, that carpet will receive lots of damage, but the rest of the carpets in there are going to be fine. So based on how many, you know, whenever a monster is in a certain section, that's... You can see, like, if a dragon's in a section for, like, 3 turns, it could have the chance to destroy 3 carpets there. Or if, like, bandits are there for, like, 1 turn, you know that only one of your carpets is going to get destroyed. So,
okay. I was about to ask, how do you then know, or what is the limiting factor on when these monsters disappear? But I like it that it is just a raw number of dragons attack 3 times and then go away.
Yeah. Which at that point, you know, since it's going to be 6 in total, we should make it, like, dragons can probably stay, like, a lot longer or something like that.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah,
you know, bandits. Because, you know, whenever a town is being attacked, they're not going after the carpet. They just happen to be, you know, the carpet just happens to be in the way. You know, it's just a casualty of war. So, you know, maybe the dragon's really fixated on, like, one specific house, and that one just gets totally destroyed.
Yeah. Now, question for you. With these monsters and stuff, and we've proposed a lot of different mechanics, I'm kind of on the fence here. Why I'm asking it, can the carpet heroes?
Oh, that's what you want the name of the game?
Yeah, I was just saying this thing mid-sentence, and then I said carpet heroes.
That sounds fine, but I think we can give it a little bit more pizzazz.
Fair enough. But anyway, as the carpet heroes, are you allowed to maybe, like, have some skills that prep the actual heroes? I know that you're not the ones going out and fighting, but, like, is there any way for the players to do anything to thwart these monsters from staying longer? Like, maybe... No, I know. That's why I was saying I was on the fence with that idea. I think we do have enough mechanics already that are... Again, yeah, you're a retired hero. You've hung up your cloak. The sword is sitting, you know, above the mantle. You're a carpenter now, and all the moves are more preventative, much more about kind of working around the monsters rather than actively thwarting them.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna say no. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that if you have, like, a carpet business, maybe you can give a hero a carpet as a cloak, and that thing is enchanted.
And that helps. No. I like our mechanics that we have thus far, and I don't want to bog it down too much with variability. I like that when a monster shows up, they're just there for however long maybe the card says or what was rolled, whatever it is, they're there. Oh, real quick, to go back to how you lose or whatever, maybe you start or like whatever scenario. You start the scenario with a certain amount of gold coin because, I mean, hey, you're a business. That's the point of doing this carpet business, is that you get, you know, money for whatever these contracts are or whatever. So I think that also encourages, then again, maybe there's someone who's asking for a ton of carpet. It's the king or whatever, and they want to carpet the entire castle.
Yeah, and we forgot about a king.
Yeah, and so that's a big job. And if you can get it done quickly, like maybe there's like a turn limit of like how much gold you get. Like if you do it in like, I don't know, if you can carpet the entire castle in 5 turns, you get a huge payout. But if you get it in 10 turns, not so bad. If you get in 15, not so great. And then if it's like beyond 15, then it's like boo, like sorry, but you get like some money, but not a whole lot. So there can be various degrees of how much you get paid in this contract work. And whenever carpets are destroyed, you have to like, maybe you have to like reimburse that person as much as you then have to go back and fix it. And I don't know, maybe you're paid, maybe you get like some of that money back. But if that's how you lose, if too much carpet is destroyed, you have to start reimbursing people everywhere. And then if you run out of money, game over.
It's that guarantee, that 100% carpet satisfaction guarantee on the box.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And that works then. Yeah, that helps if you like run out of money and you just don't like make enough there and you have to pay people back. That seems like a good idea. I think it also should cost money to like manufacture the carpet or make each one. Like you get paid more for when you install it, but every single time that you make it, maybe that's a rogue ability, is that rogues can actually get materials at a cheaper price.
Oh, yeah, love that. Wow, this is like a okay. whole like, this is a whole economy / adventure game that we've built out.
Yeah. I'll also say this, to up the stakes of carpets getting ruined more, maybe that if you make a fire enchanted carpet and a fire dragon does breathe on it, it loses that enchantment, but the carpet's still there.
Yep, I love that. Because then, then again, yeah, you're racing its time. You can't just enchant a carpet. You can't just, you know, make it the best carpet ever, throw it out the door, and then just never worry about it. It's about efficacy. So like,
again, yeah, you got to hit all the spots. By the end of the game, even if you don't enchant every single one, it's all about preemptively putting a carpet in for every single customer, including the king, that doesn't get destroyed. And you can definitely do things to enchant them to try to keep them there for longer. But as long as everyone just gets a normal carpet, then you can close up shop and that's the end of the game.
Yep. And that's what I'm thinking, is that maybe again, or at least you've got all kinds of strategy here that, like, you know, if you're trying to sit on all these carpets and make them as good as possible and then start distributing them, one, it takes turns to install them and get them in or whatever, but two, you're lowering your reward of gold because you took however long to get the carpets in. And then the other strategy is that, you know, you might just like, you know, just really just try to get carpets out there and you're just a well-oiled machine just putting them out there, but because they're so basic, carpets are getting destroyed left and right, you're reimbursing, you're having to go and fix everything, you're
losing that money.
Yeah, everything comes to a halt. So it's all about it's a balancing act in kind of cost benefit of what you can and need to do.
Yeah, I think this works. I won't say on paper because I haven't written anything down. No. But it works on podcast, so
it works on words.
Yeah.
Easy.
Well, anything else you want to add to this? I'm kind of out of ideas for this whole carpet conquest.
Ooh, that's a good one too. But I think honestly we could probably sit here and talk mechanics all day, but that's something that's for R&D to figure out. We've got a great groundwork here, and I think it's naming and of course who goes first time.
Of course. Well, I said carpet conquest. I guess that does work. But if we want to do something more zhuzh it up,
I'm trying to think of like, what is the name of this fantasy land or kingdom?
I don't think carpet should be in the name of the land, because in this world, the heroes just invented carpet.
Right.
It should be something like floors. Like something with like a floor.
I was just about to say something like that. I was gonna say, you are the carpenters of Florian. That sounds like a Pokemon, but yeah, like something like that. Carpenters of Groundsburg.
That's like Florian sounds like Eevee's evolution just another normal type.
That's pretty good. Or
it's just a bigger Eevee.
I understand there's grass already, but if there was like flower type Florian. Oh.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, yeah. Move over, Leafeon. You're out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. maybe the city is called Groundsburg, Dirtsboro. They've just been sitting on
the king of Dirtsboro. I mean, we could just have that as the name. I don't know if that should be in the title.
Dirtsboro Carpet Co.
Dirtsboro Carpet Co. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss rhyme.
That's fair enough. If it's too rhymey, that's fine.
Well, I mean, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know. I just don't know if we need this fantasy title.
I mean, what if it was...
The name of the... Yeah, go ahead.
What if it was just, like, Fantasy Carpet Company?
Well, now that's just too basic.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
That's, I mean, gosh, I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm being too picky with everything.
No. I appreciate it. And I do agree. I'm mostly just trying to throw things out to get the wheels churning. Yeah, I do
and
agree.
I'm just here to shoot it down. else you got for me to shoot down?
I'm going to put a stick right in the wheels. Grind it.
That's how progress is made.
Against all odds. That's how. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dirtsboro's good.
Heroes of Dirtsboro. Give it a little bit of that fantasy. I mean, Dirtsboro is very fantasy, but you know, to give it a little bit of that edge and imply that you, even though you're not the hero, you're still a hero of sorts.
Yeah, I'm fine with that title so long as the word dirt in Dirtsboro has like a gravelly looking font.
Oh, that's good. Okay, wait, hold on. Maybe we can. I'm just going to do some quick Googling. What do you call someone who installs carpet?
It's a carpenter. Yeah?
What is another word for carpet fitter? What is a person called that lays carpet? Florence style installers and top marble setter? No.
Marble setter.
Carpet installer? Installer?
Soft setter, fluffy setter, that's what a carpenter is.
Fluffy setter, that sounds bad to say, but you're a carpet layer.
That's very specific.
Yeah,
it's not called a carpenter then. Wait, what's a carpenter then?
Carpenter, that's a woodworker. Yeah. Person. Oh, carpenter. Not
carpenter. Wait, carpenter. Yeah, not carpenter. Let's call it carpenter.
Carpenter. Ooh, I actually kind of like carpenters of Dirtsboro.
Sure.
Maybe to really, again, make it a very fun box, carpenter has a carpet texture to it, and Dirtsboro has a gravelly dirt texture to it.
Okay, yeah. I'm fine with that.
Amazing.
More crazy fonts.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm imagining also, yeah, the artwork and the style of this game is a little cartoony. You know, it's still fun and everything like that. Like, no one dies or anything. You're just trying to get your carpet business off the ground.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, yeah, carpenters of Dirtsboro.
Carpenters of Dirtsboro. Man, can't wait for George R. R. Martin to write the book about this.
Oh, yeah. I think it's actually going to be included in his last one that he hasn't finished yet.
That's true. I was going to say, we probably shouldn't have revealed that, but spoiler alert, everyone.
Spoiler alert. Dirtsboro shows up in the Seven Kingdoms. It's the eighth one.
Dirtsboro shows up, and it's an incredibly minor town, and there's an incredibly minor character in it for 3/4 of the book. And then in the last chapter, they say something really profound to someone else in a room, and then the book ends, and then you have to wait on that cliffhanger until the next book comes out.
Yeah, and then in the next book, someone brings a carpet to Daenerys, and they're like, hey, you should try this in your castle. And then Daenerys is like, this is really good. I'm going to stop fighting and, you know, just put this everywhere.
Yeah, and then all the fighting stops.
Yeah, it's a pretty good story. Well, anyways, who should go first? Whoever was last in a Lowe's or Home Depot.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. I was gonna say something stupid like you roll for it, but you know,
you roll for it. That'll never be that. That can never be one of our rules for going first.
That's true.
Rolling
for
it.
Yeah.
That's just lazy. Miss Dunn would never accept that.
I know. I shouldn't even said it. Okay, what about not only if you were the last one in a Home Depot, but how about this? How about the game comes with, it might get a little expensive if we do this idea, but some actual carpet swatches, and if you can correctly name the types of
carpet on there?
Yeah, the color that is pulled out, because hey, just so you know, I went carpet shopping once, and there are all kinds of wild names like sandstone and you know, marbled leaf or whatever, and just all kinds of crazy Crayola names for carpet. So,
well, I mean, that just gives the advantage to the person who has the box, because then they can study the carpet kinds.
True. Ooh, maybe it comes with a How about this?
you're sent a weekly swatches of carpets if you subscribe and buy this game, and then you have new ones to identify.
How about this one? In the spirit of cooperativeness and coming together, you pull out a random carpet swatch. You know, there might be an established name for it, but then everyone goes around in the room and gets to suggest a name for it. And, you know, maybe someone is like really blown away. It's like, oh, wait, that's like way better than my idea. You vote on who had the best name for the carpet, as obviously they're the best carpenter, and they get to go first.
That's a good idea. I like that one.
Yeah.
And if no one can agree, then it goes down to who last went to a Lowe's or a Home Depot without getting help. I forgot to say that part. Without getting help.
Oh, man. Well.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, because personally, I mean, I know very, very little, but I think the biggest thing is that Lowe's and Home Depot's are huge. I just need directions when I go in there most of the time.
Well, then you don't get to go first.
I guess. I better come up with a dang good name.
And if everyone can't agree on a carpet name, or if they went to a Home Depot or Lowe's and got help, then you just have to pack up the box and put it away until someone can either go accomplish one of those two things.
Or, you know, maybe you could just redraw a different swatch.
All right. Fine.
Nope. Go home. Everyone stop.
Everyone stop playing this game.
Swallow your pride and pick a color, you fools. Awesome. Well, I think we're good.
Yeah. Sounds like this one's complete.
Carpenters of Dirtsboro. So, thank you everyone for listening. You can find us at PatchPotchRND on Twitter, and for any professional inquiries at PatchPotchLLC@gmail.com. Big thank you for listening. Again, just gonna ask for some help from you all. Tell your friends about it. Tell everyone about it. Shout it from the rooftops and dance in the streets. But make sure no cars are coming. But yeah, no, seriously, word of mouth is very, very helpful, and we really appreciate it, and we're very appreciative of you listening to our show.
Yeah, and definitely tweet at us. We would love to hear your crazy ideas, like fantasy carpet business. You can even just tweet at us if you'd like to make fun of the fact that I forgot what a carpenter was, or any of the other suggestions that I may have said throughout this whole sort of podcast, because, you know, we definitely want to hear from you.
Yeah, I even forgot what we said, but we said something dumb at the beginning of this episode, and we asked you to tweet at us, and yeah, go ahead and
do that. It's been a long, long one, yeah. Yeah. Please let us know of all of our mistakes and things.
Mm-hmm. All right, you want to wrap it up, or do you want me to wrap it up?
Did I wrap it up last time? I think, do you want to try wrapping it up?
Yeah, I think I got a pretty good one, but here we go. If you can keep your ship shape, can you keep your shape in the shape of a ship?
Profound.
Bye, everyone.